We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. God has granted us once again that we may be able to bring forth the fruits of the word of God unto these that may hear, and give heed to those that may take warning. My friends, we're living in the last period of times that the Bible speak about. We're living in the last days. I don't know what this new year is going to behold to us, but I don't believe it's going to be as a lot of people hopes for or is expecting. Because I think that because of the iniquity is abounding so greatly throughout the world, and all these things that are happening is God's judgment upon the people because of neglection and them not heeding to what he had to say to them, and they are seeking after other gods, they are seeking after other ways, and they're seeking after the pleasures of life more than the pleasures of God, or as the scripture says, become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They worship him with their lips, but the hearts are far from him. They've gone to other gods because the people of the world today has made games, and the people that plays in them and made them their gods, they may not realize it, and they would say, no, they're not. We don't worship them, but they do, because they stand in the cold, and they stand in the rain, and all these things in their games, and all these, and they would go to extreme lengths to be in the presence of them. Why could you say that they were not their gods? Because my God is a God that I'd love to be in his presence. I worship him because he is God. He is the one that's created it all. But when the people turn from God, as they have in these past years, and elected people that they care not for, but yet they ask not the guidance of God to put them into the political offices, and all these things have come about, and the laws have been made and put God out of the picture, but they've got everything else that they want had come in that the lust of the flesh desires to have, and we are fall down beneath, way below what God's standard would have us to be in. So, my friend, today we're living in the time at the soon return of our Lord. But before the Lord returns, there's going to be a calamity that's going to come upon this world. Whether you and or I not like it or not, it's going to come. There's nothing we can do about it. All I encourage you is to read your word and pray and seek after God and his righteousness, repenting of our sins and giving him glory and honor from our hearts and not just from our calves of our lips, worshiping him in spirit and in truth, and living a life that he would be pleased with. If you read your Bible and ask of him, he will lead and guide you into all truth according to the scripture. When we receive of his spirit, the Holy Ghost, he said he would lead us and guide us into all truth. And we have people that's making laws today that would have corruption in the world, and they sanction it with all this here marriage of same sex and all these things that are coming up on the world. It's going to bring a destruction because God is not pleased with this kind of lifestyle, and he has put a curse upon Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed it because of the same things. My friend, God does not entice you to sin. He says to turn away from it. And a lot of people says that they've come out from this kind of lifestyle, but yet they're going to go back and persuade those others that they may come out. But the Bible teaches us that The Lord said, if you come out from among them, and I will receive you. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then would I hear from heaven and heal their land. So what are we going to do? We're going to trifle around with God, thinking that through all of his grace and his mercy, which is upon us and has been for some times. But I believe that the time is coming that God is getting weary of these false teachers that are out there teaching people to send me your seed and plant it in my bank account, and God's going to bless you with thousands and thousands and all these things and everything. God's getting weary of it, my friend. All he wants you to do is repent and call upon him in repentance and serve him in the beauty of holiness. Seek after him first, and all the other things will be added to us. But you give to these false prophets that prophesy these things and good things to you. But if you go back to Jeremiah, in the time that Jeremiah prophesied to the house of Israel because of their sins and iniquities, and how that they had forgotten God, and how that God had brought them out of the land of Egypt to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey, but he just asked them to follow him, to be obedient to him and his ways, and keep his laws and his commandments. But they turned aside and made gods to themselves and all these things. Well, the United States is no different, my friend. This whole world has come short. The whole world is in iniquity and lieth in iniquity, because all the world is lingering, is following after the rudiments of demons and things of that nature. No matter, they may stand behind a pulpit somewhere or another. They may sit on a big white chair with a big hat on his head and claim to be God, but he's a liar and the truth is not in him. There's only one Lord and one faith and one baptism that we're baptized into, one body. Would it be kind of silly for a body to be having three heads on it? It kind of looks to me, would be kind of awkward to me. But there's only one body that Christ is there, and it's one that he has come forth out of the tomb, and he's still alive today, my friend. So are we going to go behind every tree and upon every high mountain and into every stadium and every place and drive for miles and miles in the cold, freezing weather to sit on the cold bench and listen to them hoop and yell and cry out about because somebody made a touchdown or made a field goal or hit the putt in the hockey thing there? Are we going to do that instead of going into the place of worship and give God praise and honestly serve him in the beauty of holiness? Are we going to continue in our old ways? Jeremiah says that God spoke to Israel and said that he would search for the old path, ask for the old path and walk there in it, that your soul may find rest. But they said, no, we're not going to ask for it, neither will we walk in it. And he said, he set a watchman on the wall to sound the trumpet of the things that would be detrimental to them. In other words, to warn them of the things that's going to come and destroy them. But they said, we won't listen to the trumpet either. That's why today, it's not that I want to be claimed or be called a doomsday or anything, but I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Are you going to be prepared for the sound of the trumpet? Are you going to be deaf to that thing, but you be hoop-rawing around to the ball games and things and forget about the God that created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, and worship the things of this world, things that would cause you to lose your salvation or your soul? My friend, it's time we take heed to what the Word of God has to say and listen to them few that are out there, as God has chosen to warn you about the sword coming upon the land. I don't know what this new year of 14 is going to bring, but it's not going to be pleasant as some people may think. We've got all this stuff coming up and the corruption in the White House and in over other place around the world it's bringing forth, and our judges are bringing forth and making laws that God definitely does not approve of, but makes it laws that they can come and have their rights and don't even pay no attention to those rights of those people that wants to do the right thing and live a godly life. What is God going to do? He's going to bring a tremendous tribulation upon this world, and it's going to shake it. According to the scriptures, there's going to come a time of trouble such as never was before, neither be after. And it's coming to be, my friend. We've got the things that the Bible speaks about 2,000 years ago of the things that's to come. Tribulations, the wars and the rumors of wars, and all these things are happening today, and they are waxing worse every day. Earthquakes in direst places, all these things are happening because it's already been put down in the Word of God. The prophets of old and the men of old have put it in the words, and you have failed to hear. You failed to take heed. The calamity will come and fall upon you, and God will mock at you when you cry out, and all your fear cometh upon you. He's going to laugh at you, because you can't say that you without warning, my friend. If you hear my voice and others that are preaching this end time message, to flee from the wrath of God, calling upon the Lord, repenting from your sins and turning from your iniquities, and seek after the God of glory, faithfully with your whole heart, soul, mind, and body. As he said, turn from your wicked ways and call upon him. You cannot sin and get by with it. Oh, the people today and a few days ago, Santa Claus is coming in town. He sees you when you're sleeping and all these things. It's a myth, my friend, a lie, in other words. God's looking down upon this old world, and he sees the sin and an iniquity that's going on. As it was in the days of old when Noah was building the ark, he told them about the things that was going to come, that the rain was coming and the flood was going to come, and they laughed at him. A lot of people is laughing at the preachers today that are preaching against the sins that have come into this world, throughout the world. It's not just in one place, it's throughout. The whole world is in sin, and they're loving it. They're wallowing in it like a hog in a waller. My friend, today we need to get out of the hog pen and come to the Lord as a prodigal son did when he was down in feeding the hogs and about to eat the husk. Quit eating the husk of the hogs and come to the Lord God of glory. Repent and tell him that you're sorry for your sinful ways, and let him come into your life, and he'll bring you forward. He said, to come you out from among my people, and I will receive you. Be separate from the things of this world and from the iniquities of others. You don't have to follow them. Follow the Lord, and he'll give you the rest that you need for your soul. We need to pray for our men and our women that are in these wars that have fought to give you a privilege of a right to have the privilege to serve the true and the living God. But we got judges up in there that's passing laws and sanction laws that will put God out of our schools and out from these places and making it hard for them to serve him as much as a man can. Their iniquities is going to eat them up. The fire of God is going to come and consume them one of these days. And they're going to wonder what happened, because they failed to understand. They failed to take heed to the Word of God. They pushed it aside, trampling the blood that he shed on Calvary's cross 2,000 or so years ago for their sins, and they counted it as nothing. They cast truth in the street and considered nothing is righteous but except what they want to make laws and uphold, taking the rights from the Christian people and putting rights out there to make them abide in, like our president's going to make you suffer for it. If you can't buy something other, he going to make the fine upon you because you can't buy it when you ain't got jobs to work on because of the world has turned against the God and his prosperous because they failed to seek after the kingdom of God. John made it very plain that the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. But they're seeking after the wealth and the gold and the silver of this world, and they're throwing their money into the plant your seed salvation and everything, and God's going to prosper you. My friend, it's about time you learn the truth about the matter. These men that are preaching all this prosperity stuff is of the devil, and you need to be aware of it. But if you don't take my word for it, you go ahead. There's others out there preaching against it too. And this here Sodom and Gomorrah spirit that's come over on the flood, and it's engulfing the world today. It's bringing forth tragedy, and it's going to bring forth damnation upon those that will have part of it, whether you are committing the sin or not. But if you be favorable to it, it's being that you liable to suffer the same consequences. My friend, it's high time today that the nation turn from its wicked ways and calling upon the name of the Lord. Ask for the old path. I recall back when during the Depression days in the late 20s and the early 30s there, that when people went to church and they called upon the Lord, they didn't go there and say, preacher start at 7 o'clock, I want to be out of here by 9. They'd go and spend hours there praying and seeking God, and God heard our prayers. He brought us through the World War II, and he brought us and made us prosperous there because we sought him. But then they come along, and this division came up amongst the church, and the denominational walls were thrown up, and one say this, and another one say that, and they've come up, and they push God out, and they started preaching another gospel, and therefore that it's come to the place to where in that God is getting tired. It's become a stink in his nostrils, and he's about to make a way that people has never seen before. He's going to bring a calamity upon this world that they've never dreamed of, according to the scripture, but they don't preach that. They preach prosperity. Oh, be of good cheer. Well, that's all right to be of a good cheer if you think, if you put your mind and your hearts upon God. Be of good cheer. God will love you, and he does love us. If it wasn't for his love and his mercy, he would have cut us off long ago. He would have destroyed us long ago. Israel failed simply because they turned aside from God's laws and his commandments and would not obey him. They sacrificed to idols and these things, and they sought after other gods, and he turned them off. And we're doing the same thing that they done. But let me tell you, my friends, he said the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The Israel was taken off and broken off to where you and I could be grafted in. And if you think we got a monopoly on it, that we can do as we please, when Israel done the same thing, or we are doing the same thing that Israel done, rejecting God and his commandments, walking in the lust of our flesh, obeying the desires of our heart to seek after other things rather than the seeking after God and his righteousness. Do you think he's going to put up with that? He didn't put up with Israel, and he chose them to be an example to all the world that there was a God that loved them, but he broke them off and he grafted in a nation that didn't even seek after him, but their laws was better than what theirs was. He brought Nebuchadnezzar them. But my friend, it's come to the time that where he's going to bring of face upon this old world, and the calamity is going to fall upon us, and people are going to, and some of these rich people that is begged you out of your money and everything to plant in their seed, they're going to run and throw their money into the caves with the bats. And as for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. Silver and gold ain't going to get you into the kingdom of God. Repentance, being godly sorrow, asking God to forgive you of your sins and apologize to him for trampling the word of God and throwing it out and there and not obeying his will by walking in your own lust and after the things of this world. You got to come to him humbly, broken heart, contrite spirit. He said he wouldn't cast us out. But no, you come and you raise your hand, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And the preacher will say, you're on your way to heaven and you ain't moved nowhere. You ain't changed your ways. You're not on the way. You're still on the same old path that you walked on. And the Bible says that the way of the world is a broad way and wide is the gate. That leads to destruction. But narrow is the way, straight is the way, and narrow is the gate that leads to life eternal. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the door. My friend, he's been standing at our heart's door and knocking, and nobody's opening to him in these last days, and he's going to bring forth a whirlwind of destruction upon this nation as well as on the whole world, and they're going to flee and call. They called upon him in Noah's time, but when the flood took him away, it was too late. So when Jesus comes and the angel comes and declares that time will be no more. And if you don't know God, you ain't going to know him because you won't have no more time because time will be left out of the equation. And if you're lost, you will still remain lost. As a tree falls, so shall it lie. If it falls in corruption, it'll lie in corruption. If it falls in righteousness, it'll rise in righteousness. My friend, the tree that he's speaking about is you and I, the soul of man. If we fall into sin and corruption, we're going to raise one day. We'll be in the dust of the earth, but we'll raise to be cast into hell, which is the second death. But if we serve in the Lord God of creation, the man called Jesus is in our lives, and we're depending upon him for salvation, believing and trusting in him. Then the time will come that whenever we sleep in the dust of the earth and when we raise, therefore he will bring us into the place that we'll raise up and have life eternally. But my friend, it's going to take being born again. It's going to take calling upon the name of the Lord and letting him be there in our lives and using him as the one that would save us from our sins. And therefore, we need to let him be in our life and give him praise and glory, trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other name given to whereby that we can be saved. We got to realize that there's no other one out there that can save you of your sins. Although that man over there in Italy says he's God on earth, but he's a liar and the truth ain't in him. The devil's deceived him like he has many other people in this world, these same-sex marriages and all these things. God said he turned them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. So now what are you going to do? You going to believe what God has to say? Or these crooked politicians that lawmakers is going to sanction them that everything's okay with them, but when you go against it and everything, he'll put you in jail. Hasn't already been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that they will do these things? Well, I don't know. They may come get me and put me in jail, but I'm against it because my God's against it. And them that stand against the wiles of the devil, therefore we're in the hands of God, and God may let the things happen to us to bring us. It did down through the years of the apostles. It did with the men of old. The prophets Jeremiah told the children of Israel of their faults and told them to repent, and they cast him into the dungeon. He put him in a cistern there with mud up to his head, you might say, but God delivered him. But they didn't want to hear it. They stopped their ears when Stephen's was there being telling them about the grace of God through Jesus Christ. They stopped their ears and turned aside when Paul and Barnabas was preaching unto them about the salvation cometh from the Lord Jesus. They stopped their ears. They stoned Stephen's calling upon the name of the Lord. And what do you think they're going to do in this day, in this hour? They'll do the same thing. Them that does not love the appearing of God and does not believe in him is going to bring forth and therefore, because the scripture says in Revelation 17, he said, it will be given unto the beast to make war with the saints and overcome them for 42 months. Who do you think you are that you got a monopoly on this world that you can do as you please and be like some I've heard? Oh, I used to believe what you're preaching, but I found out I'm going to go to heaven whether I want to or not. My friend, that's a lie out of hell. You got to be born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus, and he was a Pharisee. He was one of the ones in the synagogue. He's supposed to know what was going on as far as the righteousness of God, but he was lost. But when Jesus told him there, when he asked him, what can I do to be born again or inherit eternal life? He said, you must be born again. Except you be born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I say that you must be born again, or you will no wise enter therein. My friend, it's come to the place that we're in that I can say, you got to be born again according to the scriptures, or you will not make it. No matter what politician tells you that we're going to glory and the prosperity is going to come and be poured out like water on a duck's back. And my friend, it's going to come to the time that we're in that people are going to turn to the Lord, but it may be too late because the iniquities are abounding greater and greater throughout the world. The things that are happening, disasters are happening. There's been wars and rumors of wars for ever since I can remember. And all these calamities are happening because it's a judgment, tribulations upon this world, trying to get people's attention. Will you hear? Will you listen for the sound of the trumpet? Will you take heed to the word of God, read the Bible, repent, and come to him? Or will you continue in your own ways, serving your gods, and leaving the Lord Jesus Christ and just throwing the truth in the street, trampling upon the blood that was shed for your sins on Calvary's cross and denying the God of glory? Are you going to do that or would you repent? It's time to realize that today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow we may not have. It may not come to us. It may be too late tomorrow, my friend. Oh, let me encourage you as I have before. Read the word of God. Don't take somebody else's word for it. Read the word. Understand it. Give God praise and honor. And ask him for the understanding of it. He'll give you the light of it. He'll go with you through page by page, letter by letter. And he'll help you and guide you into the truth if you will only submit yourself to it. Totally giving yourself over to him. Surrender all to him. And he will give you that unction, that spirit of truth that will come and lead you in the ways of righteousness for his sake and for the salvation of your soul. It's time we begin to realize days are getting wickeder and wickeder. People used to could leave their homes unlocked and go off to the store and nothing, everything would be secured when they got back. But today you can be sitting in your living room or maybe at the eating table or whatever, minding your own business, and some devil will come and kick the door down and come in and rob you and ravish your house and steal your goods and beat you up and all these things, rape your wives and your children and kill them and everything like that. My friend, we're living in perilous times. Understand that the days of evil are upon us. It's time to call upon the name of the Lord. It's time to repent and seek after the kingdom of God with our whole heart. Oh, but it's time that people begin to realize that God is not going to tolerate this much longer. He didn't put up with it long. Moses had worked on that ark for 120 years, he told them, and they wouldn't heed. But he, that 7 days after he told Noah to come into the ark, 7 days the door remained open. The door of salvation, of opportunity was there, and none took advantage of it. And he shut the door, and the rains began to come down. And I don't doubt that there weren't a prayer meeting going on, but it was too late. And when the Lord comes and takes his people off of the face of this earth, and all these things begin to get even worse and worse, it's going to be too late. Now's the day of salvation, while that there is time. And oh, I want you to know that when that day comes and they run to and fro as they are doing all these things that he spoke about in Daniel's prophecy, and it's still going on. Daniel's prophecy all has not been fulfilled yet, my friend, but we're living in the last days. We're down in the clay and the iron mixed. You might say we're living in the big toe time. Oh, when the Lord's going to come, that rock hewed out without hands is going to smite them images at its feet, and all the rest of it is going to deteriorate, and the wind will carry it away as a ship on the floors there. On the there, my friend, we got to realize that we're living in the last days before you're going to believe it. Look around you. Read your Bible and see what's going on, and you will know that we're coming to the time of the end, that we're already in the last days. Listen to those that will bring you forth the truth. Listen to the warning. You know, crows have got better sense than some men. The people of this world, there's warnings going out, and there's some preachers that's trying to warn them that the sword's coming upon the land, but they won't take heed. But you take a crow. They've taken out. God said he put, when he spoke to there many times, he spoke to Jeremiah, and he put there Ezekiel as a chosen vessel there, as a watchman on the wall to warn the people of the sword coming on the land. The crow will take one out of their congregation, if you want to call it that, out of their group. And he'll sit in a tall tree, and he'll watch while the others are down in the cornfields or eating. And if any danger looks around, if any danger starts coming up, he will call to them, and they'll all escape. They'll run away. But let my friend, if that crow goes to sleep, so to say, and he don't warn the rest of them, he's an outcast. Let me tell you, my friend, which come to the time you need to take heed and take warning to those that have been chosen of God to bring forth and tell you about the sword coming on the land. Because it's in the Word of God. If you'll read the Word of God, you'll find out that we're living in those days now. You don't have to take my word for it. But if you believe in God, then believe what it tells you in the Word of God. Read it out and find out what it's telling you. Believe what it has to say. Because, my friend, in the Word of God, when it comes to be two or three witnesses, let it be established. And when the Word of God makes sense, why do you want to seek other sense? Trust in the Word of God. Believe what it says and flee from the wrath to come. Oh, my friend, today we need to take heed unto the things that God has spoken about in the days of old, that how he allowed Israel to go for so long, but then he broke them, cut them off. He broke them off and brought you and I in, but he told us not to boast or brag against them, because he can graft the natural back in a lot easier than he did the wild. and Israel has become a state again in 48. God said he would bring them again to their land from all around the country, north, east, west, and south. And he's done that. And it's coming to the time. Israel's in the stage now. They're trying to get peace between them and them Palestinians and Hamas over there. And that the Bible says that when they come to say that we've got peace and safety, there'll be sudden destruction. We're coming close to that end of the last battle that will ever be fought. And the Bible calls it Armageddon. My friend, you don't want to be lost out without God when all these things come upon the land, because they're going to come. And if we're not hid in Jesus, if we're not in that name that is above every name, if we're not hid in him, we're going to be lost. And I don't want you to be that way. I don't want to be that way. I want to win you if I possibly can. And if it's to tell you about the doomsday, if that's what you want to call me, as a doomsday preacher, but if it'll win one soul to pay attention and be warned and flee from these things and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll be worth it all. They called Jesus a lot worse than that. They hung him on a cross and pierced him for yours and my salvation. They killed the apostles because they stood for the truth. What do you think, that they are going to let us get by without any problems? The world is full of sin and iniquity, ruled by the god of this world, that man, that old boy called the devil. He's got them hook, line, sinker, and he's dragging them down to the pits of hell, and they ain't got sense enough to realize it because they're following after other gods. They'd rather go to a football game 1,000 miles away and drive through snow, rain, and all that stuff and sit out there and hoop and yell and for their favorite team and everything, rather than go a block down to the church and hear the word of God. Has not that come to be the time that he said they would become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God? They'll run down to the mall and sleep out there on the sidewalks for 3 or 4 days or a week, all day and all night, to try to be first in there to get some new gadgets that's come up, because he said that all the knowledge would increase. Remember, it used to take the covered wagons several months to go from one place to the other. Now it's only a matter of a few minutes in a jet airplane, hour, 2 or 3 hours, you can be clean across the country, all the way over yonder in another nation. Used to not be that way, but these things are come. And he said that would come a time. They'd run to and fro. Knowledge would increase. It also said that they would fail to heed to the warning that's being called out. They would forsake God, as Israel did. We're doing the same thing. My friend, turn to the Lord today. Read your word. Believe of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him, repent, and calling upon the name of the Lord. It's time we got our hearts in the right place. It's time we put priority first. Your soul will spend eternity in one of two places. It'll either be with the richness of the glory of God, or it's going to be cast into the domains of hell for punishment for the duration. Now, it's up to you. God gave us a free moral agent. He gave us a mind to think with and to choose. But I would say, choose you this day to whom you will serve. And serve the Lord Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and body. Give him praise and honor. Seeking after him with all that is within you. Praying and seeking him. Calling upon the name of the Lord for the salvation of your soul. Or elsewise you be lost. It's going to come to the time that when you either going to either be with him or you'll be against him. I'd rather for you to be with him, to stand for him and give an account there and said, my God reigns and he's my Lord and he's my God. Even though if you may face the period of the that they may bring you forth for the council, to give, that you give an account, that you can stand there and say, my God reigns, but it'll be given unto you in that hour. Some people is going to spare their own life. They will deny that they know God. But them that love him and do solemnly love him with their whole heart is going to say, my God reigns and he's my Lord. Even if they were the threat of death on you, you will still go on. Because that'd be a shortcut to glory. Because there's going to be many as Revelation teaches us that John seen many souls under the altar crying out, how long, holy and true, will you not revenge our blood upon them that are on the land? And it was a white robe given him, told him to wait just a little while until their fellow servants and brothers had come the same way they did. They shed their blood. They gave their life as a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you be one of those? Or will you deny him and be thrown into hell with the devil and all of his followers? It was prepared for him and his angels. But so many people want to go there until it's enlarged itself in order to accommodate them. Because broad is that way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Will you travel on it? Or will you continue traveling on it? Or will you get on the straight way and go in the narrow gate and find life everlasting? It's up to you. I know I've took just about all the time, but I want to give my wife a minute or two here and bring forth what God laid on her heart. We're in this together, my friend. Oh, it's time we got together to serve the Lord. Tear down the walls of denomination like the President Reagan told Khrushchev. He said, tear down the wall. We need to break down that wall of denomination, come to find out that there's only one God, and he's the one that we need to serve, and quit having a division amongst us, because we are losing ground. We're losing souls because of this and that. We need to come together and worship him in spirit and truth. May God bless you as my wife comes forth here. But pray for our boys and girls that are in the harm's way. Pray for this nation that one more time that God may move by his spirit and bring the hearts back to him from where they have left off and worship him in spirit and truth. Here's my wife. She's got something here.
Jesus, I want to share with you this afternoon a couple little articles. It's the end of the year and everything. We're starting a new year. And I just thank the Lord that I did try to put him first last year. Maybe I slipped a few times, but whenever we had church, I was there. Unless I was sick, and I haven't been sick, and I thank God for that. And I just praise him for everything that he's done in our lives, for bringing us to him, and to all my brothers and sisters out there in internet land, the radio, wherever that you may be. We're not on the radio anymore. We were since back in 1982. Different stations, we preached the same thing, and they politely gave us a little letter and saying that the listening audience did not appreciate our preaching, so we stopped for a while. But thank God right now we don't have sponsors. We are on our own, and like I've said, God sponsors us. But if you'd like to help us, I'll give you my address a little later. And also, if you'd like to write to us, email us, and tell us what you think about us. I mean, you know, I don't have a thin skin. And you tell me what you think about me or whatever we read, we preach, and we'll pray for you and as you pray for us. But I have an article here that's called The New Year. And this is what they're doing tonight. They stand out in the cold by the thousands in Times Square, New York City. What draws them to that place? There's no sporting event or a rock concert or anything like that. There's just a huge lighted ball that drops down a pole out on top of a building. It takes a few seconds, and it hardly seems worth fighting traffic and subway crunch to see, except that it happens on New Year's Eve at midnight. Why have we created a holiday over such a non-event? other holidays celebrate famous birthdays or historical milestones or something. New Year's Eve just celebrates the passing of time. We make such a fuss because it signals the end of an old era and the beginning of a new one. The old year's problems and struggles become a dim memory when we think of getting a new start. And many of us, I'm not saying us, but many make New Year's resolutions. One man said he made a New Year's resolution at 12 o'clock midnight, and he broke it at 5 minutes after midnight. But the Bible does not speak for or against the concept of New Year's resolutions. Every day is the day that the Lord hath made, as Psalms 118:24 says, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. One can make a resolution or promise to oneself any day of the year, and keeping it or breaking it is in your hands. One thing the Bible does say in Ecclesiastes 5:4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. In other words, you make a vow and you're promising God, setting goals at the end of the new year, stimulating. But it's the motivation to keep the resolution that's important. You can determine to pray more. You can determine to read your Bible more. You can determine to go to church regularly. But these resolutions can fail without the proper motivation. You have to do something yourself. And if you're promising these to God, the best thing to do is not make that promise, because somewhere down the road, something is going to happen and you say, oh Lord, I'm sorry I did that, or I didn't do that. But once something is done, it's done. You can't bring it back, and it's something that you'll just have to start all over again. The incentive must come from within with a purpose and plan. Even though there might be a setback at times, the best thing to do is start all over again. And as we look back to the past 12 months and face the new year, we can have hope, because we can be sure of God's help, and that is that he will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what comes, no matter what goes. That makes the prospect of a new year worth celebrating. Though we may not know what waits us or what the future has in store for us, yet I know that my God is faithful, because he has proved it so many times to me before. Yesterday's gone. What you do with today is what counts. Tomorrow may never come. There's many, you know, that have gone to bed last night and died in their sleep. I know my mama and my grandma, some loved ones, they went to bed at night and they woke up the next morning over yonder, as we say. Today is a day of salvation. What you do for God today is what counts. Repentance. You must repent. May everyone put your God and trust and have a Jesus-filled 2014. And like I said, you know, if you would like to help us, it would be appreciated. You can send it to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272. Tampa, Florida, 33682. But we're more important. We'd like to hear from you. And you can email it at ecompton31@yahoo.com. We've learned over the years, you know, that we've been on broadcasts and everything. The best thing to do is buy your groceries, eat at home. God said he'd supply your needs. If you got a roof over your head, you've got clothes on your back, shoes on your feet, and you got food to eat, no matter if it's not a steak or whatever, you are blessed. And I look to 2014 to be another year where God will bless us, bless you, if you put your faith and trust in Him. Here's Brother Earl.
Yes, praise God. It's going to take being faithful to Him. He'll be faithful to us. He told Israel there many times He was faithful to them, but they were unfaithful to Him. And because of their unfaithfulness and because of their neglection of Him, they were broke off and we were grafted in. But He's going to come a time that He's going to retrieve Israel back. And He's going to come and claim a remnant. And it will then the end of the time for the Gentiles is going to be gone. And if you haven't made it in, my friend, and I believe that time is coming nigh upon us, when this time that they make this peace agreement, and when it comes about, you better look up, because the redemption is drawing nigh each day. We need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to make our election sure and be positive that we know our Redeemer liveth, and we have our sins beneath the precious blood of Jesus. Because without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. And God shed His blood on Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago. But it's still just as powerful now as it was then. But you're going to have to accept it. That picture that you see in many homes there, that Jesus standing there on the outside of the door knocking. He said, if you knock, it'll be open unto you. If you seek, you can find. If you ask, you can receive. But He stands there knocking at your heart's door. That you're going to have to open the door and allow Him to come in. Because the doorknob is not on the outside to where He is, but it's on the inside. You have to open your heart and let Him come into your life. Invite Him in and let Him be your God. Let Him come in. He will cleanse that temple and bring forth righteousness. Oh, the devil is going to come around all the time. He's on the job 24/7. And he's going to try to get you to do things that you know is not right. But don't take any heed to him. If you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to help you to overcome His will and His ways, He will help you. And you can call upon the Lord any time. When the enemy comes by, the Lord said He would raise a standard up against him and He will protect you. No temptation has ever come upon a man that what he has not already made a way of an escape for you, my friend. So don't let the devil come around and just tell you, well, I got you now. You messed up back there yesterday and I got you. Or you messed up a little bit ago and I got you now and I'm going to bring you in my domain. Call upon the name of the Lord and plead the precious blood of Jesus against that foul spirits of hell and he'll flee from you. You don't have to give in to him. You can call upon the name of the Lord any time of the day or the night and he's always ready to listen to your cry. He's listening. He minds the sparrows. Think not that we're more valuable than the sparrows. My friend, he looks after us. If he hadn't looked after us, you and I would have been gone long ago. Because the devil, if he had it in his power to kill you and drag you into hell, he would catch you at your most vulnerable times when you were so deep in sin you couldn't, as the old saying comes, you couldn't see your way clear. He'd take you out, but thanks be unto God that he cannot do that. He doesn't have power over life and death. Only God does, and he can give life, and he can take life, and he does that from time to time. But he's a God that does his will, and he loves his creation. That's why he died for it. The devil tried to destroy it because he knows that his time is short. He knows that he knows his destination is going to be locked up in hell and no more to deceive the nations as the scriptures tells us, him and all the false prophets and those that desired to be there will be locked up in the hell to deceive the world no more. So now it's up to you and I. We can call upon the Lord and have salvation, or we can go our own sinful ways because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We needed a Savior, and Jesus come to save us from our sins, not in our sins, but He is a Savior of our soul. And if we don't allow Him to do it, we're going to be lost. So we need to call upon Him today, seek after Him with our whole heart, and there He'll be found. Praise Him and give God the glory and honor. Pray for us as we pray one for another, that God will help us in this new year coming, that we will seek after Him with our whole heart. Pray for our men and women in these wars and them that have come home all lamed and crippled. It seems like the government wants to put them aside like He does everybody else, forcing them into something other. We need to put Him out of office and get somebody in there that'll have a God heart and for the people instead of His own wicked ways. May God bless you until next time. Take time for Jesus.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior.